Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now, this is interesting. So in the 6 o'clock hour of this show, I was telling you guys how, you know, I did a follow-up story on our Montana Talks website about how we have yet another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the Gallatin County Detention Center in Bozeman. And then I went and I said, you know what, I'm going to just go look at, I didn't hear back from the sheriff's office on the email that I sent, which is fine because I should have followed up with a phone call. But man, you know, we get up here at Old Dark 30, et cetera. But then I thought, you know what, let me just go find the numbers myself. So I went to the jail inmate roster on the Gallatin County Detention Center website. And I started like looking at everybody that was on an immigration hold or who has been in an immigration hold at some point. Like maybe now they're being held for the U.S. Marshals, but they've been on an immigration hold prior to that. A dozen men in the Gallatin County Detention Center right now regarding an immigration hold. Right on, John and Bozeman just sent us a message. Don't forget, they are short-staffed at the detention center in Bozeman, which even came from the officers, so they're holding multiple people in drunk tanks until a cell opens. I haven't seen or heard that officially, but it wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, David Noble in the house joins us every Thursday on the show. David, great to see you.
You know, I find it very, very upsetting that here in Montana, places like Yellowstone County, places like Gallatin County, because of the failed leadership we've had in these places where we haven't built jails and we don't have any jail space, now here in Yellowstone County, Gallatin County, here in Montana, we're not able to help the Trump administration accomplish its goals. We're having to throw out ridiculous ideas that the media is then, you know, lambasting, like using the metro, which frankly I think is a great idea because who cares what it takes? We need to get these people rounded up and deported. But the idea that we're here in Yellowstone County and Donald Trump, the president of the United States, comes in and says, hey, we need to start arresting illegal aliens. And here in Yellowstone County, hey, sorry, don't have any space. Don't have any space. Sorry, we can't round up the illegal. That's an embarrassment. That's a failure, I think. And I think it's really unfortunate that we don't have space in our jails and our prisons to help the Trump administration round up all these criminal illegal aliens and get them out of this country and send them back home.
Yeah, by the way, this could be kind of like a, since you brought up the Metro Park idea of, hey, they could use this temporarily to hold these folks and then ship these illegal aliens out. First Interstate Bank. This is not a good look for First Interstate Bank. There's a Q2 story. First Interstate urges peaceful resolution to Metro Park Detention Center proposal. I saw that and I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, come on, First Interstate Bank. You'd be better than this. Like, I get it. You bought a bunch of banks in Portland, Oregon, and so you're trying to, you know, pander to the woke crowd. But the rest of corporate America even now is moving away from the woke DEI nonsense.
And then did you see the Chamber of Commerce came out and said, oh, this would be so bad for business. This would be horrible, horrible for business if you did this. Huh?
Why didn't you say that for the last 4 years about the crime problem and the illegal aliens targeting your Billings with drugs and violence? Oh, that's okay for business? Give me a... the woke virtue signaling pandering is just like, guys, this just got rejected.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperatures will range from around 30 in Bozeman to near 50 in the Billings area. For tonight, with mainly clear to partly cloudy skies, lows range from about 8 above in Bozeman to 30 in Billings. And then on Friday, we can expect breaks of sun and some cloudiness, 32 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. President Trump left Washington 4 years ago a beaten man. He lost a bitter election battle, faced recriminations over the Capitol riot. F. Scott Fitzgerald famously pronounced that there are no second acts in American lives. But he may not have been writing about sports or politics. In athletics, Tommy John and even Michael Jordan come to mind. Politics is replete with comebacks. Richard Nixon, Winston Churchill, and Vladimir Lenin make the cut. And so does President Trump. He's now only the second American president to return to office. President Grover Cleveland served his first term from 1885 to 1889, but Cleveland lost the presidency in 1888 to President Benjamin Harrison. However, Cleveland rallied to vanquish Harrison in 1892 and came back to the White House. So this is a second act for Mr. Trump, and the expectations are astronomical. He has a narrow margin in the House, and that will make it hard to muscle through his agenda on tax cuts and slicing the size of government. Voters are also watching to see what's accomplished on the border and inflation. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, do you guys remember the movie Far and Away with Tom Cruise? It was filmed here in Montana. They have that incredible homesteader scene where they're riding on horseback across the prairie. Well, I got to meet the stuntman who played Tom Cruise's stuntman in that film and so many others. He was down in Vegas. We had a great crew of Montanans. You can check out that story and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, how much would it cost to go to the Super Bowl from Butte? Tommy O'Neill. Put the numbers together for us, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David, so back to this story. Another rape suspect on an ICE hold in Bozeman. Representative Jerry Schillinger at a circle. Great surprise phone call from him in the 6 o'clock hour. He was saying, look at how much it costs per day to house people in our jails. Look at how full our jails are. And look at how much money we spend on this. And so when I pulled up a dozen different names of individuals that are in the Gallatin County Jail today as we speak, that's a lot of money. That's what I think he estimated, $1,500 a day. Now, whether it's the feds now picking up the tab because they're on an immigration hold or look, that's our money either way.
It's our money, and so not only is it costing us money, but they're also taking up space, which then makes it so other criminals that commit crimes against innocent Montanans are no longer being arrested because, hey, sorry, you know, we're full up with a bunch of illegals in our detention center. So it's costing us money, it's preventing us from enforcing the law. You made a really good point earlier about these illegal aliens lacking insurance, and they never have insurance when they're driving. And if you're in a vehicle and you get in an accident with an illegal alien and they don't have insurance, guess what? You're either paying out of pocket or you're fighting with your own insurance company and your premiums are going up and everything else. But more than that, not only do they not have insurance when they're driving around, they don't have insurance when they show up to replace your roof as a subcontractor. They don't have insurance when they show up as a subcontractor to frame your new house. Or any of these workers out there that are operating these illegal alien crews, none of them have insurance. And so frankly, when they're out there picking berries, they don't have insurance. When they're out there doing all these things that Democrats are out there saying that we need them for, which I find very, very disturbing the way that they're openly saying, we want to keep illegal aliens here in the country. And I heard a Democrat on TV yesterday say this, because who else is going to pick blueberries for white ladies' milkshakes or whatever, right? Didn't they say that?
Oh, man, if you find that clip, send it to me, because there's blueberries in my milkshake. That would be a fun clip to share here. Yeah, because that's how absurd these people are. By the way, David, I think another important point to add here, given all the sensationalistic media coverage of these efforts to, you know, deport the criminal illegal aliens, which every single illegal alien is a criminal illegal alien. But anyway, you know, while I was looking at that jail roster, you know what, David? I didn't see one Native American on an immigration hold in the jail. Sorry, just had to make the point because, like, the absurd sensationalistic media coverage. Oh, we're afraid Donald Trump's going to deport Native Americans. Oh, get the heck out of here. Come on.
Oh, the malicious compliance by some of these federal bureaucrats. Like, Trump says we're getting rid of DEI. And they're like, okay, fine. Well, we won't celebrate MLK Jr. Day. It's like, you jerks. We're not talking about getting rid of federal holidays.
Well, yeah, did you see when Pete Hegseth came in and said, you know, that we're ending DEI across the military?
military. He's gutting DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion programs from across the military. So this is where you can tell you've got a radical left-wing activist. Because then what did they do? Some Air Force bureaucrat said, well, we're going to stop teaching about the Tuskegee Airmen. Oh, give me a break, man. The Tuskegee Airmen are incredible military history. And not only that, but they were a meritocracy. They were incredible pilots. They didn't just get put. It's not like, you know, making your White House press secretary somebody because they're black and they're gay. The Tuskegee Airmen were great because they were great, regardless of skin color. But they're like, oh, we're going to stop teaching about the Tuskegee Airmen. And that nonsense got put to a halt right away, because it's just like, you morons know that ending DEI doesn't say that we stop teaching about, you know, incredible American history like the Tuskegee Airmen, or we stop celebrating MLK Day.
And all these ridiculous responses to the Metro Park proposal, we ought to be met with, oh, okay, well, if we don't want to put them in Metro, we'll just put them in Guantanamo Bay. We can just put them in Gitmo. Would you rather send them to Gitmo instead of Metro Park?
Well, and certainly Gitmo for a long-term facility, but if we're just talking about, okay, they've rounded these people up, they just need a place to put them temporarily before they fly them out of here, that's what they were talking about with the Metro. But yeah, a lot of woke virtue signaling.
Can I just make one real quick point here before we get to some callers? Because I want to make a point, which is that we're the ones that are being humane here with these deportations. Remember this, because a lot of these illegal aliens, they're in very vulnerable situations, and they're being taken advantage of by the cartels, but they're also being taken advantage of by all these businesses in the United States that hire them. And then remember, because these people are in very vulnerable situations, a lot of times the business owners that are hiring them also own the houses that they live in, and you've got 10, 20 illegal aliens living in a house that's owned by a business owner who's then paying them slave wages and making them work 15, 16 hours a day. Meanwhile, they've been raped and assaulted and attacked while they're crossing the border. So remember, by us deporting all of the illegal aliens and securing the border, we prevent all of the rapes and physical assaults and murders that happen when they're trying to cross the border. And then we also prevent the exploitation and the vulnerabilities of these illegal aliens as these business owners mistreat them here in Yellowstone County and all across this country by forcing them to work 16-hour days and paying them slave wages. And these business owners are profiting off of them, illegally profiting. And now the Democrats and the media say that we're supposed to feel bad for all of these felon businesses that are taking advantage in exploiting these illegal aliens, and we're supposed to feel bad for the business owners? No, they're criminals too.
Well, here's the other thing too, is the Biden regime basically also tried to force some of these companies into this, because normally you'd have to you know fill out the paperwork before hiring somebody, and they just said, oh, just put in all zeros, and instead of like a social security number or something like that, they ordered them to use all zeros, so that even if you were a business owner that didn't want to hire illegal aliens, how are you going to check? How are you going to know?
And they'd probably hit you with civil rights claims, too, if you didn't
go after you. Yeah. Hey, Cynthia in Red Lodge, stand by. Definitely want to get to your phone call here right after the break. But that was a great point there by David. So, we'll keep rocking and rolling right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the most amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California is actually falling, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. It's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Security preparations have been elevated in New Orleans for next week's Super Bowl, following the New Year's terrorist attack in the French Quarter, during which 14 people were killed by an ISIS sympathizer who drove his truck into a crowd. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry says there will be two enhanced security zones, one in the Quarter and one around the Superdome, which will aim to balance protection and freedom. He says public awareness is key, And that data shows when people are actively aware and looking for potential problems,
those that seek to create mass casualty events will seek another place to do that.
New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell says the city is an experienced Super Bowl host, but
we're still going above and beyond what we've seen in the past.
She says she's absolutely confident Super Bowl week and the game itself will be safe. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Looking again out to Washington, D.C., as the U.S. Senate continues to hold confirmation hearings and confirmation votes on President Trump's newly formed cabinet. Well, yesterday, the U.S. Senate confirmed former New York Republican Representative Lee Zeldin as the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator in a 56-42 vote. During confirmation hearings, Zeldin faced scrutiny over his ties to the oil industry and its potential impact on renewable fuels policy. Biofuel groups welcomed his commitment to working with them, with leaders from the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, and others expressing optimism about his support for ethanol, E15 expansion, and the renewable fuel standard. Livestock groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association congratulated Zeldin on his confirmation, stating that cattle producers look forward to an EPA that recognizes their conservation efforts and to curb overreaching government regulations. However, environmental groups remain skeptical, with the Center for Biological Diversity warning that Zeldin's leadership should be closely monitored to ensure environmental protections remain intact. In other news, retail fertilizer prices rose slightly for the fifth straight week, with six fertilizers higher and two down. The two fertilizers that were lower included MAP coming in at $809 a ton, with potash priced at $443 a ton. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970 as David Noble joins us here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I can't believe it's already Thursday. My goodness, this week, after a busy week last week with the presidential inauguration coverage in Washington and then the SHOT Show in Vegas, I can't believe this week is flying by so quickly. But let's go to Cynthia in Red Lodge. I think Cynthia wants to weigh in on kind of the, just this whole idea of deporting illegal aliens and where do we house them as a temporary location before we get them out of the country on these deportation flights, et cetera. Cynthia, what's your thoughts? Great to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron and David. I was just wanting to toss into the conversation the Two Rivers Authority prison out in Hardin would be likely be an open place to put these people until they're ready to go. And then I also have another point, which was we have to remember that this all goes back to Joe Biden. He is the person responsible for this. He beckoned all these people in, false promises against our law. So he is the guy to blame. It certainly isn't Trump.
And John Tester. And I say that because obviously he lost the election. The election's over. But that accountability piece is important. People need to be reminded that everything we are seeing in Montana and across this country as a result of this criminal illegal invasion, John Tester was with it every step of the way, despite his lies during the campaign and more. He was with it every step of the way. And the rest of David, you and I were kind of and Cynthia, thanks for the call. But David, you and I were talking about that during the break, that these left-wing activists that packed into the Yellowstone County Commissioners meeting, this is AstroTurf, folks. This is like folks, the new polling just shows the majority of Americans support President Trump's deportation efforts. Don't be bullied nor intimidated by these liberal, propagandists and what they're pushing. Don't be bullied by these left-wing activists who show up at a county commissioner's meeting. It was all staged. It was all coordinated. Don't fall for it. Don't be intimidated.
And they represent 10% of the people here. And so if 10% of Yellowstone County is 1,600 people, right? So 90% of us support the plan and support the deportation. Well, if 10% of us show up, there's 1,500 people at a meeting and nobody in support of it shows up, it's going to look like there's a huge crowd against it. I think Cynthia's point is fantastic about hey, look, for every single sad story that we hear about an illegal alien getting deported, for every illegal alien parent that gets deported with their American kid and it's a sad story, you know what we should say? Yeah, that is sad. Isn't that terrible that Joe Biden and John Tester let them? It was the same thing with all of the Palestinian deaths in Gaza. You know my response to that?
3 minute yeah. stations.
Isn't that
three
always so horrible?
Your next Fox.
Isn't that horrible when Palestinians die? Because, wow, Hamas is terrible. Hamas is to blame for that. And so, you know, the Democrats, the far left, oh, this is so horrible that Israel killed Palestinians. No, what's horrible is that Hamas started a war that ended up in these people. And the same thing here. Oh, isn't this so horrible that it's sad and it's emotionally sad that these illegals are getting deported? Yeah, isn't that terrible what Joe Biden and John Tester did by bringing them in here illegally under false pretenses, under false promises, and gave them false hope and told them to come in here and told them that they wouldn't get deported and lied to them and now they're getting deported? Isn't that terrible what Joe Biden and John Tester did to them?
Oh, exactly. And on that front, since you bring it up, I think I need to play this clip right now. The mother of Laken Riley was at the White House as President Trump finally was able to sign the Laken Riley Act into law. Imagine if we had Kate's Law back in 2012 when John Tester voted against Kate's Law. We wouldn't have needed the Laken Riley Act because we would have already had Kate's Law. Listen to the remarks from Laken Riley's mother at the bill signing at the White House.
We would like to thank Senator Katie Britt for her diligent bipartisan work to get this bill through the Senate. We'd also like to thank Congressman Mike Collins for his unwavering passion and for leading on the Laken Riley Act from the start. Our family will forever be grateful for the prayers of the people across our nation and for helping to get this legislation into law. We also want to thank President Trump for the promises he made to us. He said he would secure our borders and that he would never forget about Laken. And he hasn't. He's a man of his word. We trust that he will fight for the American people. Most importantly, I want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without his sacrifices, Laken's story would have ended on that horrific day that she was taken from us. But because of him, we can continue living knowing that we will see Laken again.
Wow, I mean, that's some powerful stuff right there, David. And the fact is any of those left-wing activists that they're at the county commission meeting the other day, they can go to places here in Montana and hear stories like that. You know what I'm saying?
That's like Tom Holman. Everybody says, hey, Tom Holman, why do you care so much? You know what Tom Holman said? Tom Holman said, I care so much because I've looked into the eyes of a 10-year-old girl who's been raped by multiple men. That's why I care so much. That's what we're fighting against here, folks.
Yeah.
And it's going on in Bozeman. And then you got these people crying about the Metro Park. Are they crying about what happened in Bozeman the other night?
And then bowing down, bending at the knee to these woke left-wing activists. I mean, come on, guys. Don't. 940-0970. We got Sean in Livingston next up on the phone line. Sean, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, did I see here you've actually you've dealt with ICE and you kind of have some idea, you know, you have some inside knowledge about the correction system, etc.
Yeah, exactly. I worked for the state of Oregon Department of Corrections from 2013 to the end of 2021 when my wife and I lost our careers due to COVID. And when President Trump was sworn in, or around that time the first time, Kate Brown, who was the governor of Oregon at the time, made it very clear in the press that Oregon was a sanctuary state. The interesting or ironic thing of that was the fact that we had many, many, many inmates that were on ICE detainers. And she was very prominent in the press of declaring a sanctuary state. But every week, the ICE bus would show up and pick up those that had served their time for the state of Oregon and then were on their detainers and shipped right out the back door. So there's a lot of doublespeak, I think, going on as far as a lot of these politicians are concerned, too.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about a dozen illegal aliens, or, well, people on an immigration hold. Some of them could be here on legal status, but then when they commit a crime, they could be put on an ICE hold to be processed out.
But this has been an ongoing problem over years. And then when you get these sanctuary cities that don't want to enforce the immigration laws or assist those who will, of course, we continue to see a pileup of costs and a pileup of people sitting in our facilities or, like you say, just snuck out the back door and put right back out on the streets.
Exactly. And we had, you know, there was 14 institutions at the time in the state of Oregon. And at the institution that I worked at, we had just over 1,400 inmates. And at any given time, there was between 200 and 400 ICE detainees. And when Oregon had Measure 11, so it was day-for-day time with no good time served. And once they served that time, they would just get on the bus with ICE and wherever they went from there.
Wow. Yeah, wow. David, my just knee-jerk reaction is just what a mockery of America all this is. It's just a mockery of the hard work and sacrifice that so many our forefathers have sacrificed to build this country into what she is and to just see it. It's just a mockery.
It really is. It's just an unbelievable amount of money we're having to waste cleaning up this mess that Tester and Biden and all the Democrats created. And I find it just absolutely morally reprehensible, these sanctuary cities. Don't they realize that they are creating the attractant for all of these illegal aliens? And don't they realize that little girls are getting raped as they try to cross the border illegally to try to get to their little sanctuary city? If they are not a sanctuary city, the little girls wouldn't be getting raped trying to cross the border, you sick Democrats. Get rid of this stuff.
And when you confront them with that, they don't care. They literally do not care. They will just pivot and talk about something else. It's like when the communists took over these countries and murdered people by the millions. The ends justified the means for these radical leftists. All right, let's see. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation here with David Noble, joining us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. David, I've got a whole bunch of woke updates here that I thought we could get to as well. But I want to go back to this. Tim and Savage just sent us a message, and he makes a good point here. You were talking about how the Democrats are openly saying, well, if we kick the illegal aliens out, who's going to do our laundry and who's going to pick our crops? And, you know, as Stephen Miller rightly pointed out on CNN, look, the illegal aliens that have flooded this country in the last 4 years, they're not picking your crops. They're not farm workers. We have legal farm worker programs. These are criminals that are in our cities causing chaos, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. But anyway, Tim and Savage makes a good point here. Wasn't it also the Democrats who opposed ending slavery partially over concerns about, well, who would pick the crops? I mean, here the Democrats go again. Well, who would pick the crops if we, you know, end illegal alien, you know, the illegal alien nonsense going on? Who would pick the crops if we ended slavery? I mean, the Democrats doing what the Democrats have done.
Well, and it's another disingenuous statement by the Democrats. Since when do Democrats care about inflation? Since when do Democrats care about skyrocketing costs? Since when do Democrats care about decreasing economic and financial well-being of the American people? It's like when the Republicans want to spend money on something like the military, you know, the number one constitutional purpose of the federal government, or we want to spend money on deporting illegal immigrants, you know, again, one of the most important jobs of the federal government. All of a sudden, the Democrats are concerned about federal spending and the budget and the deficit. And it's like, oh, now we want to deport all the illegal aliens, and now suddenly the Democrats care about inflation and our economic well-being. Well, why didn't you guys care about that back when you were blowing out the spending at the federal level and causing all the inflation? Why didn't you care about our well-being economically when you were shutting down all the oil and gas and energy development in this country? So don't give me this stuff about Democrats claiming that they don't want the illegals getting deported because it's going to drive up the cost of housekeepers and laundry people. And cropping. They don't care about that. That's disingenuous.
Well, and then you and I were talking during the break, and it's like, you know, the Democrats, the party of slavery, weren't the Democrats also the party of the Trail of Tears? And look at the trail of tears that Democrat open border policies has led to on our Indian reservations, not just in Montana, but all across Indian country, all across America. And so the trail of tears. Who's going to pick our crops? Well, history has a tragic way of repeating itself sometimes. Got some great messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app here. Let's see. Scotty in Billings says this. Channel 2 had a terrible news item on how the natives on the Crow Reservation are scared and going in hiding because they fear they will be deported. Terrible news reporting, says Scotty. Yeah, it is so absurd. I've already given my thoughts on that at length, but Scotty, pointing that one out.
The media is the entire purpose that anybody is even thinking about that. They generated that story. That was never a real thing. They went out and found some Native American to say, hey, I'm worried I'm going to get deported. And then they ran the story, and then everybody saw the story, and now they're saying, oh my gosh, are Native Americans getting deported? This is a totally media Democrat concocted story. This was never a real concern. Nobody ever thought that was actually going to happen.
Q2 just can't wait but to go, oh yeah, let's go gin up a bunch of fear campaign over this, when you know what actual people on the Crow Reservation actually were scared about? The freaking drug cartels that were killing their people and getting their people hooked on drugs. And you know, Q2 did a little bit of reporting on that, but they certainly downplayed it to protect John Tester in 2024. Let's see. Oh, and you know what, who most likely the people that are trying to gin up this controversy on the reservations are? They're probably a bunch of dark money activists for a group called Western Native Voice, which is funded by who? Open Borders kingpin George Soros. So again, nobody's buying this BS. In Q2, when you keep running these sensational stories in the Gazette and everybody else, you're just hurting yourself, and you're just continuing to lose credibility with the people. Morgan in Helena tells us the illegal alien driver license bill is House Bill 275. Morgan says she's trying to find the vote tally on the new legislative website right now, but it's in the House Transportation Committee, if anybody's interested. Bish in Billings says we do need legal immigrants because we've become entitled and lazy. They really do jobs that many Americans won't do. David, on that point, this is exactly why if they reauthorize Medicaid expansion, they dang sure better have a work requirement as a part of that for able-bodied adults. I mean, at the very least, right?
Yeah. At a bare minimum. And I don't necessarily buy that, because you know what? Americans will be carpenters. You know what? There's a lot of Americans that'll be carpenters. There's a lot of Americans that'll be electricians. There's a lot of Americans that'll be plumbers. Don't give me this stuff that they're doing jobs Americans won't do. And you know what? You know why Americans won't do some of the jobs that a lot of illegal aliens do right now? Is because the employers are offering slave wages for those jobs, because they've got a huge exploitable underclass. A permanent exploitable underclass exists in this country that's doing illegal work, uninsured work, where if one of these illegal crews comes over to your house and does work on your house, and it's a big problem, and you've got $100,000 in property damage to your house now, guess what? You got no recourse, because they don't have insurance. They don't have any assets to pay you back.
And meanwhile, some woke, white, young liberal dude with his man bun sitting on a couch eating cheesy poofs in Missoula right now doesn't care, because he gets to sit on the couch and get free health care and a bunch of other free stuff that you and I and everybody else has to go to work to pay for today.
Yeah, you know, there was one really good comment on the California fires that I saw, which was really kind of eye-opening, was they had done this interview with some of these liberals that had lived in L.A., And the way that they described, like, their houses and their neighborhoods, and the way that, like, the Pacific Palisades neighborhood existed prior to the fire, it was very, very clear that the Democrats that lived there were not experiencing the negative consequences of their own policies. And it's the same with the man bun guy in Missoula eating cheesy poofs that you just talked about. He's not experiencing the negative consequences of their policies. And so why should, and you know,
give me my cheesy poofs.
You know what? So what I find very hopeful though about all of this is that I think you see the African American community and the Latino community realizing that the Democrats have been just using them for votes for forever. And I, especially in the African American community, where the Democrats come around every 4 years and demand your vote based on your skin color. But then what have they ever done? What have the Democrats ever done for the African American community or any American community at all?
Yeah, great point. Great point. Man, I had like four or five things that we could talk about for woke updates of the week here. Let's see. And also, you know, you had a great idea about doing a Trump win, the Trump W of the week. Well, there's a lot of Trump wins here that also could be counted as woke updates. You know, the Pentagon gutting these DEI programs from the military, whole host of stuff on that front. Let me do one quick woke update of the week here. I don't know if you saw this. The DailyCaller.com had this, David. So a New York Magazine, they did a big hit piece on young Republican activists. And they photoshopped all the black people out of the photograph to make it look like these are just a bunch of young white fascists, basically. They photoshopped all the black people out of the young Republican photos.
And the craziest thing is that party was C.J. Pearson's party. C.J. Pearson is a young black conservative activist. That was his party. It was literally a party hosted by a black guy. And the, no, but it's all. And then the other thing is they show that picture, and it's all these young people having a wonderful time. Nobody's staring at their phones. They're all at a party drinking, and then it's like the cruel kids or whatever. And it's got this picture, and everybody's kind of commenting like, "Wait, do the Democrats think this is makes this look bad? It looks like they're out having a good. They're all dressed really well in suits and ties and drinking and having a good time. It's like that's supposed to be some horrible thing." And then I couldn't, and then you see the picture where it's actually zoomed out and they haven't cropped everybody out. You see all the other people, and then I couldn't believe it. C.J. Pearson actually posted, like, yeah, this was my party.
Yeah. They don't put the black guy in the photo when it's his party. I mean, typical woke white leftist media here. There's another great woke update of the week. So did you hear Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth pulled down General Milley's portraits? You know, he had a nice fancy portrait of himself, and he hung his portrait all over the place.
The Democrats should be happy about taking down a portrait of an old white guy.
Well, no, they're angry now. Susan Glasser, she's some New York something journalist. She said this. She said the pulling down of portraits and forced erasing the past is a reminder. She's mad. That's she hilarious. Says taking down General Milley's painting and portrait is erasing history. But she had no problem when they were, you know, tearing down statues of Civil War heroes who fought to end slavery.
So suddenly the Democrats are opposed to iconoclasm.
She actually advocated for pulling down statues. She advocated for renaming military bases. But, man, Milley just got pulled out of the Pentagon, and you pull his portrait out, you're erasing history.
It tells you everything you need to know about Milley.
And Susan Glasser.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Go. With more than 600 new items on shelves, Amazon Go makes it easy to handle whatever today has in store. Because where else can you drop off an Amazon return and pick up a freshly baked pizza for dinner? Or grab nitro cold brews for now, plus made-to-order sandwiches for later? Or find must-haves like milk and eggs alongside really wants like froyo and sushi? Stop by your newly renovated Amazon Go in Mill Creek and handle whatever today has in store.
Fox News commentary.
Our commander-in-chief will reinstate all U.S. military members who were discharged over refusal of the COVID jab. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts. And please leave a rating and a review.
The COVID era was the dumbest era in modern history. The shutdowns, lockdowns, masks, and vaccine mandates crippled our nation and our military fighting force. Thousands of service members were discharged for refusing the COVID jab, but under this president, they will not only be reinstated, but reinstated with full rank, back pay, and benefits. Not only will this move restore valuable and needed warfighters back into the service, it'll go a long way in restoring their dignity, morale, and passion for their military careers. It was so stupid they were ever forced out over the bogus vax mandate in the first place. place. Add that to the long list of Biden-era errors that will be corrected under the Trump administration. Providing those service members with a pathway back into the armed forces is yet another promise made by Donald Trump on the campaign trail that will be kept now that he's back at the helm. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will range from around 30 in Bozeman to near 50 in the Billings area. For tonight, with mainly clear to partly cloudy skies, lows range from about 8 above in Bozeman to 30 in Billings. And then on Friday, we can expect breaks of sun and some cloudiness, 32 in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, do you guys remember the movie Far and Away with Tom Cruise? It was filmed here in Montana. They have that incredible homesteader scene where they're riding on horseback across the prairie. Well, I got to meet the stuntman who played Tom Cruise's stuntman in that film and so many others. He was down in Vegas. We had a great crew of Montanans. You can check out that story and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, how much would it cost to go to the Super Bowl
Learn more at Billings Oral Surgery.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Bruce and Ennis just sent us a message. There are people who will pick fruit and lettuce. Stop giving them a food stamp card every month, and they will go out and work for minimum wage or to put food on the table or pay for cigarettes and beer. So there are people who will pick the fruit and the lettuce. Let me see here. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth was on with Will Cain yesterday afternoon. And Will Cain was asking him, hey, you're taking down General Milley's portrait from the Pentagon. And apparently the DOD is going to be launching a review of General Milley's actions while he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under the first Trump administration. Here's SecDef Hegseth.
Accountability is back, Will. It's the understanding that if you actively undermined the chain of command as General Milley did under the previous Trump administration, we are going to review those actions administratively inside the Defense Department. Mark Milley got a pardon. That's something President Biden was in his purview to do. Just like in our purview at the Defense Department, we have the opportunity to review things he may have done inside the chain of command while President Trump was president that undermined those authorities.
All right, so yeah, that's part of what Pete Hegseth had to say. The rest of the clip, go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You should be able to find it there. David, any thoughts on that? Or do you have something else you want to talk about before we run out of time here?
Well, I just find it very, very unfortunate that Joe Biden pardoned all of these Democrat criminals on his way out of the office, because now you've got things like, I mean, everything I've heard from Mark Milley, from folks, and I've never... My understanding is Mark Milley basically went to the Chinese and said, hey, don't worry, if Trump tries to, like, launch a military strike on China, I'm going to let you know. And everybody I've heard, and I don't know if that's true, but that's, I think, been reported.
Oh,
and
it's then, true. Yeah.
And then all the analysis that I've read is that that's basically treason, and you ought to be tried for treason and get the ultimate punishment under treason. But Joe Biden pardoned him, I guess. Although, frankly, it would be nice if pardons only applied to, like, federal prosecutions, and it didn't apply to like a court martial or like military justice.
Or like, can a president preemptive pardons? Like, I thought you have to pardon people for something that they were already actually like convicted of. Like, but just like,
I don't think we've ever seen this before, where a president like Joe Biden comes into office and then he knows that his people, Joe Biden's appointees, committed crimes under Joe Biden or even before Joe Biden, and he's pardoned him. He's pardoned his own people. That means we have now set a precedent. The Democrats have set a precedent in this country where the president can go into the Oval Office and for 4 years go on a crime spree with him and his family and all of his little subordinates and literally just go on a crime spree for 4 years and then pardon all of the criminals on his way out. That's a horrible, horrible precedent to set. And we've got situations like the Mark Milley situation because of it.
It's kind of like what Tommy Lahren just talked about in her commentary, but it's bigger than just the stupidity of the COVID years. These last 4 years, we just need to try to erase these last 4 years from American history, because it's got to be the stupidest
the most absurd time ever in American history. And so we're just trying to reverse that nonsense. By the way, another Trump W for the week, thefederalist.com. Here's the headline. Christians who opposed Trump should examine their hearts after his week of big biblical wins.
It's been amazing. Like his order, his executive order protecting children was so wonderful to read. And his order saying, like, hey, in the military, we require readiness. And anybody that thinks they're the wrong sex can't meet our readiness standards. And so they're out. All of those things were just, it's so good to see. I'll say this, though, Aaron. I agree with you that it'd be nice if we could just erase the last 4 years. However, I think the Donald Trump of January 2025 is the best Donald Trump we could ever have asked for or ever hoped for. He is a way better Donald Trump than we would have had as a Donald Trump in January of 2021.
Well, and, you know, how many times in the Bible did people have, you know, did they make the wrong decision, go down the wrong path? And then they finally corrected their ways and got on the right path. Hopefully America is now going to get on the right path because we've seen the folly of the last 4 years. So, David Noble, great to see you as always.
Thank you.
All right. We got open phone lines and more next hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the most amazing and consequential changes in the U.S. economy since COVID has been the changing geographic pattern of growth. The population of California has actually fallen, and within the larger metropolitan areas across the country, the dense central business districts are hollowing out, and changes appear to be settling in to stay. On a state-by-state basis, the new clusters of growth are apparent. It's all happening, with only a few exceptions, in the Mountain West and in the South. Montana has recovered 149% of the jobs we lost in the pandemic, which is to say that we've grown way past where we were before the recession hit us. Utah is at 200%. There are a dozen states that have yet to recover what they lost, mostly in the upper Midwest and the Northeast. The worst is Hawaii, still 20% short of their pre-COVID job totals. How and why are these growth shifts happening? Certainly remote work makes some of it possible. Taxes? Crime? It's hard to say. It's also hard to ignore. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.